Let's go in-depth on Iowa State with the Des Moines Register.
It's time
for Cyclone Insider on 1460 KXNO.
Hello and welcome to the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. I'm Travis Hines, joined by always by Randy Peterson. Randy, how's it going?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Hanging in there. Sun is shining. Wish it was a little warmer, but, you know, we'll take what we can get, I guess.
Yeah. You playing outside with your kid?
Oh, yeah. Big outside time after a winter of inside.
Perfect.
The biggest news right now, we should probably talk Cyclones, right? This is the Cyclone Radio Hour, I've been told.
I could talk about your kid. I like kids.
TJ Otzelberger and the Iowa State men's basketball program got three commitments over the weekend, all from transfers. Randy, what do you think was the biggest news coming from this weekend with Iowa State, you know, just loading up again on the transfer? They got two transfers. Tyrese Hunter reaffirms his commitment. Gabe Kalischer from Minnesota. Caleb Grill making his triumphant return to Ames after a pit stop in Las Vegas. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that Tyrese Hunter is the most important of these three pieces that committed or reaffirmed over the weekend. But what's your thoughts on the importance of Saturday for Iowa State, maybe in the big picture as the TJ Otzelberger era gets underway here?
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. It's the big picture. I think we probably talked about this, but Otzelberger cleared the way for Tyrese Hunter to be the point guard of the future, the point guard going forward, the point guard now, whatever. When Rashir Bolton hit the portal, so that was Otzelberger did everything he could to clear the path for Tyrese Hunter, and I think we all suspected that Tyrese Hunter would reconfirm. D-Rob was the guy who had the initial contact. D-Rob has been the guy that's been in contact with Tyrese Hunter since day one. D-Rob is an assistant for TJ. And it was just a matter of Tyrese getting to know TJ. And they took 2 weeks of Zooms, whatever. Maybe it wasn't that long. I don't know what it was, but it happened. And I don't think any of us were surprised that it did. But I think we'd have been more surprised if it didn't, and it would have been devastating for the going forward if they did not get him. But the fact that he did recommit, it opens up the door. Fans are going to have to be patient with a true freshman starting at point guard. But if Tyrese is as good as his headlines and if he's as good as we think he's going to be or as we've heard he can be, then learning on the job the first half of the season, next season, I think that'll be good for him. It's not like Iowa State fans don't know how to be patient. I mean, anything's going to be better than going through 2-22 last year, my gosh. So, yeah, I think that was – That was the big news. Getting the Minnesota kid. I'm curious about him. I remember a little bit about him. Just watching Minnesota play, but I was primarily watching Minnesota when I saw them on TV for the bits and pieces that I saw him for the Drake kid, the kid that transferred up there from Drake. But yeah, I think Iowa State needed the kind of weekend that it had last weekend. I'm not saying any of these players are great. I'm not saying that at all. But they're certainly good enough to win more than two games.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Tyrese Hunter recommitment is obviously huge. And I think you talked about all the reasons why of how that's going to make an impact for next year and beyond. But the other, like the flip side is equally scary if you're an Iowa State fan. If you don't get Tyrese Hunter, you don't really have a point guard on the roster for this upcoming year. And now you're probably talking about taking a flyer on a true freshman that's probably not as talented as Tyrese Hunter, or a mid-major type transfer that maybe is going to be stretching their talent level to be a starting point guard in the Big 12. So not only do you get Tyrese Hunter, you avoid having to go to plan B or C with your point guard position. This allows you to really start building the foundation with Hunter, with Xavier Foster, and with the other pieces on the roster that have been assembled. And I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think Caleb Grill had a really interesting freshman year at Iowa State where to me, it never felt like he got comfortable, Randy, that there was a lack of confidence probably for his one season under Steve Prohm at Iowa State. And then let's not forget too, we found out that he played the last couple of weeks of the season with a broken wrist during that freshman year before ultimately deciding to enter the transfer portal. And losing guys like Caleb Grill is ultimately like what gets a coach like Steve Prohm fired, is when you can't build that depth, when you can't build that core consistently year in and year out. So now you get Otzelberger gets Grill back after coaching him last year at UNLV. And I don't know if Caleb Grill's a starter. I don't know. I don't think he's probably a star in the Big 12, but I get the implications and the feeling having watched him a little bit that freshman year is that you get him comfortable, you get him confident, and he's a capable Big 12 player, you know, certainly off the bench, you know, maybe in a year or two as a starter, you know, as an upperclassman. So that's a big get. And then the Gabe Kalscher one's really interesting to me. Second Minnesota native that they've gotten a commitment from, joining Robert Jones, the Denver transfer, who's from Prior Lake. Kalscher shot over 40% from three as a freshman, right around 35% as a sophomore, and then saw his percentages just crater last year as a junior in Minnesota. I think there might have been an injury there. It sounded like confidence certainly became an issue. And talking with people around him, it seemed like maybe getting out of his hometown is going to get him out from under a microscope that it felt like he was playing in, which is only going to help your confidence when you don't feel like you've got that hanging over you. So if he can find some of that form and get back up to 35, 40% from three, that's a really super valuable player, especially for a guy that defends and that has Big Ten experience. So I do think, again, it was a huge weekend for Iowa State. Nothing super surprising or shocking or totally needle moving in terms of, you know, I don't think we're looking at an NCAA tournament team next year, but they're doing the things that they needed to do early on in these first weeks under Otzelberger to chart a path forward. Now you can talk about, you know, can you start recruiting the 2022 kids? Can you go out and maybe swing for the fences a little bit with one of these last two open scholarships for the 21-22 season? I think they might still like a little bit of help up front, especially, you know, we haven't gotten a lot of clarity on Blake Hinson's health situation for 21-22. So do you want, you know, do you set your sights on trying to get another stretch four? You know, they do have Jazz Kunze, the Washington State transfer, but, you know, that's not been the most consistent guy in his career for the Cougars. So do you want to get some help up front so they can stretch the floor a little bit from that four position? Because I think that could be helpful. Do you need a backup point guard? Probably not. I mean, you're probably looking at Hunter playing 30 plus minutes a night, and then you can figure it out with Trey Jackson or Javen Johnson, and maybe even grow a little bit in that spot. But I just think they put themselves where they needed to be now going into late spring and early summer.
And they've done it by keeping to their word. Otzelberger said from day one that when he came to Iowa State, that he was going to recruit the Midwest. He was going to saturate the upper Midwest. And for the most part, he's done that. He's stayed within his comfort zone. He's not gone south to try to recruit guys out of SEC country, for example. He's not gone to other places where his comfort level is not what it is in the Midwest. And he hired guys around him. He's hired a staff with the full Midwestern ties, and the furthermost guy there would be J.R. Blount. That's just, he was just most recently in Colorado. Colorado State. Yeah. So it's, and he's been at Drake. So he knows about recruiting in the Midwest. So that to me was kind of cool too, with that TJ's living up to so far to what he said he was going to do. And like you said, now they can maybe go out there and swing for the fences. And if you hit a triple, that's fine. That's certainly a base more than we've seen Iowa State have on the career recruiting trail lately. And you brought up a very good point about not having to go to with Tyrese Hunter, about not having to go to an alternate plan. How many plan B, C, D, E, Fs, whatever, have we seen over the last few years when Steve Prohm would swing for the fences? And I guess, and you can't fault anybody for that, but did not connect all the time. Okay, they connected with Talen, they connected with Tyrese. Halliburton, but there were other times when it was instead of fences and you missed. And I'm not saying that's not going to happen with this staff, but so far, like you said, if Iowa State needed a weekend like they had last weekend, and now it's just going to be interesting to see what they do with the next two scholarships, if in fact they even fill both of them.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I've been a little surprised, Randy, to your point about going to the secondary plans. I'm a little surprised, and it's worked out for Iowa State, that they've been really discerning about who they're pursuing, both in the transfer portal and on the recruiting trail for prep kids. You were not seeing their names, despite how many open scholarships they've had. We didn't see their name attached to every single transfer in the portal, you know, from the high major level. It seems like the guys that they've targeted have been guys that they're pre-existing relationships or natural ties. And on the recruiting trail, as far as we know, as of Tuesday, they've only extended two scholarship offers to high school kids, Taman Lipsy out of Ames and Eli King out of Caledonia, Minnesota. I feel like normally when you have a coaching change, you see a lot of scholarship offers go out, especially to younger kids, you know, because they don't A, have to worry about an actual commit, and B, you know, it gives them time to build a relationship. And we have not seen that. We haven't seen the 2023 or the 2024 offers come out, or, you know, blanketing Iowa kids in 2022 with offers. And so I think that's interesting to me that they seem to be very discerning in putting out scholarship offers and prioritizing players. And obviously that worked out incredibly well with Tyrese Hunter. You know, there's a reason we didn't see them pursuing any other point guards, and either in the transfer portal or at the JUCO ranks or in the 2021 recruiting class. They wanted Tyrese Hunter to know he was their guy and that they were going to do everything they could to get him on campus. And I think we're seeing that with the transfers and with the high school recruiting, where they're targeting their guys and prioritizing them in a way that makes it very clear what their intentions are. And we'll see how that plays out over the long haul. We'll see if that remains the strategy as the situation changes. Obviously, they're going forward, they're going to be a bit limited on their scholarship situation now that they've gotten these filled. But it's been a very targeted approach, I think, Randy, from TJ Otzelberger and his staff early on.
Yeah, it has. And the fact that TJ is in on one of the state of Iowa's top players, I mean, if maybe the top, I don't know, with Lipsy, the fact that he's extended the offer, if in fact they get him, and I have no clue what's going on there, but if in fact Iowa State gets him, that's big for the program. That's big from a PR standpoint also, because Iowa State, if Iowa State gets him, it's not like the best kid in the hometown square. And it's a big if. Sure, he's a wonderful player. It's why so many people are after him. But that would be another feather in Iowa State's recruiting cap if in fact that would happen. It's not a deal breaker if it does not happen. Do not get me wrong. Iowa State certainly has seen other top Ames High School players go elsewhere. So I guess we, you know, just waiting to see whatever happens there. But you know, like you said, going after extending the offer to Eli King, right? Yeah, the kid out of Caledonia. That's once again, what TJ said, playing in your own sandbox. And that's what they're going to do, at least in the early going. And I like that. I like that because that's where the whole staff is comfortable. And that's the, it's not like these guys are coming to a school. Maybe they're coming to, they'd be coming to Iowa State for the first time, but it's not like they're coming to a section of the United States where they've never lived. Whereas we've seen that in the past, you know, people come up here and, you know, not necessarily like it, but so yeah, I think it's all looking good right now for Iowa State recruiting. I'm not, like I said before, I'm not saying these guys are great, and like you said, I'm not certain we're going to be expecting an NCAA tournament next season. But I would be surprised if there aren't more victories than two, and I'd be shocked if it was another 0-18 in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, I think now we can really turn our attention to trying to figure out or divine what this team is going to look like on the floor. What kind of system are they going to play? What kind of tempo are they going to play at? And I think we're much more likely to see something closer to what Otzelberger did at South Dakota State, and rather than UNLV, at least in terms of pace of play, style of play. You know, I still wonder what level of shooting Iowa State is going to have on the floor. You know, they've got guys that I think are capable of making shots, but that doesn't always translate into making shots. They got to get Kalsher right. Like, if they can do that, I think that goes a long way. You know, can they get Grill right? Can, you know, Trey Jackson, you know, I feel like we barely saw last year because of the injury and then the COVID protocols. You know, he was really good shooting from three the last, month, 6 weeks of his freshman year. Javen Johnson, I felt like, was a little streaky. You know, Blake Hinson, I think, is a guy that they think could make threes from that small ball four position. You know, same thing with Jazz, the transfer from Washington State. So if they can get a little bit of shooting, or if they can get those guys to perform, you know, maybe near their upper levels or their upper limits of three-point shooting, that'll allow them to space the floor. And I really do think, you know, we'll see what Foster's health is. But I would be surprised if he's not your starting five man and they go four around him, go into a lot of spread pick and rolls with Tyrese Hunter. And the other guy, I think, Randy, that we didn't bring up as a real winner in this Tyrese Hunter reaffirming his commitment, I think might be George Condit. Because if you remember, he was playing his best basketball when he was playing those pick and rolls with Tyrese Halliburton during their sophomore year of 2019-2020 before Halliburton broke his wrist. And then he has not really played with a natural point guard since, and the results have not been very good. You know, Condit has been streaky his whole career, but it was a lot more down than up this last year, although we did certainly see some flashes to the upside, you know, maybe the last 3-4 weeks of the season. But getting him with a dynamic point guard in that pick and roll might be the thing that gets him back playing at that high level, at least offensively. And I think for him, if he's playing well offensively, you know, that's motivation to run the floor, to play defense. Everything's a lot easier when you see the ball go in the basket. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But really, again, you know, now we can start to think about what does this team look like come November. You will see how much we can see them over the summer as, you know, COVID restrictions presumably get lessened. But reason for optimism, I think if you're an Iowa State fan, that at least the start of this thing is going in the right direction. Again, I would be very surprised if we're seeing them compete outside the, you know, 7-8-9 kind of spot in the Big 12. But again, to your point, I think 0-18 is pretty likely. And I think the prospect of an 18-game losing streak is pretty unlikely as well.
I like what you said about Condit. And you know, I'm Condit's biggest supporter there is out there. I think there's so much potential there, and more so than anybody, I think he's a, I know he's a confidence guy. He makes his first couple shots, and he's running the floor better than, you know, we saw him run it last year. And I know there were extenuating circumstances with that last year as well. It's going to be interesting to see. Will TJ play one big or two bigs? Will Foster be a big? Will Foster be gosh, is there such a thing as a stretch five? Something along those lines. It'll be interesting to see what they do in the middle. And we haven't even talked about Robert Jones. What is he? 6'9", 220, 230, something like that. We've not even talked about that yet. So I think there's going to be an interesting situation in the post. At least there'll be options. And we know what two of those options are going to be. We've seen two of those options. We've seen Xavier Foster a little bit, and we've seen George Condon a lot. So I think I want to keep my eye on that one. I mean, you know, we pretty much know the other position, the other maybe starters even, but I really want to keep my eye on what's going on in the post.
Yeah, maybe they will play two bigs. I mean, I'm skeptical that they'll do that just because it's really hard to do in this day and age, but if they're two rim protectors like Condit and what we think Foster could be, and you get the rebounding that Jones had, maybe it's an option. Certainly it's another look that you can try. But you know, we'll see. That's the things hopefully we learn over the next weeks and months, talking with the staff, hearing from the players, because I think there's a lot of different ways they can go. And again, I think the most important thing is you see the foundation of what this team and what this program could look like in the months and years ahead, which is probably the most critical thing in the first weeks and months of a new coaching regime. And where it goes from here, we'll see. Where we go is to a commercial break, but when we come back, we'll talk more Iowa State men's basketball and some football after this on the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO.
Everything you need to know about Iowa State, it's Cyclone Insider with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register here on 106.3 FM and 1460 KXNO. He's Randy Peterson. I'm Travis Hines. We're going to talk a few more minutes here of Iowa State men's basketball. We talked a lot about the additions that Iowa State and new coach TJ Otzelberger have made, most specifically last weekend, but certainly all offseason long. And now I think we're going to take a crack at predicting the starting lineup to open the year with the full caveat that this is subject to change as we think about it and move through the off season. But Randy, I think it's worth trying to think about maybe what this looks like in November. So I think at point guard, I'm guessing we're both in agreement, or would imagine it'll be Tyrese Hunter at the one.
Yeah, I think he'll be the starter as long as he's at Iowa State, as long as he's healthy. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, TJ proved that throughout the recruiting process.
Who do you got at the two then?
That's a good question. Trey Jackson, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, this is where, like, to me, you're
his
looking
shot
at
back.
It. Yeah, I mean, to me, this is where, you know, are you going to play four guards? Are you going to play, you know, is Javen Johnson a three? Is he a four? I think Trey Jackson will certainly be an option at number at the shooting guard position. I'm going to go with Gabe Kalscher, but I do think Jackson is a real option there. But it's just, you know, how much size can you get from that position? You know, if you're playing Hunter, Jackson, Kalscher in your backcourt, you're 6'1", 6'1", 6'4". And that could get a little tricky.
Okay. What about, okay, I'm going to throw hints. I'm going to play with Henson being healthy. Okay. I'm going to go there. Henson could be a three or four, right?
Yeah, I think probably a four.
Although he's 6'7", probably a four. I'm going to go with Henson at the four. I've also got a question mark by Caleb Grill. I don't know. We saw some highlights from him, but we've also seen stuff that he wasn't very good. And granted, he was just a true freshman, but so I don't know. I don't know that position, but in the post, I think we're both agreeing that give Foster every chance to be the guy. He's your 4-star, 5-star, whatever it is, assuming he's healthy, but with Condit also in there ready to play. And they are not the same type of player anyway, because Foster can lend the element of stepping outside and making a perimeter shot, whereas I don't think you'd feel comfortable with Condit doing that. So I don't know. I think we've got 6 guys, maybe 7 guys that we think could play. And we didn't even mention Jaden Walker. We have not even mentioned him throughout 20 minutes, however long we've been talking.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts there?
I think he showed a lot of promise at times last year as a true freshman, but you know, there was a lot of downside to him in terms of his play. I feel like, certainly the turnover rate was just through the roof at 35%. Didn't shoot the ball particularly great, 28% from 3, 40% from 2. You know, I think it's certainly worth trying to get him on track and to make him a valuable part of your team. And, you know, a 6'5 guard with some bounce, with some quickness, with some speed is a valuable type of player. But, you know, I think at this point he's got to prove it a little bit more, just because maybe it's totally unfair to judge a true freshman in a pandemic season where the team lost 18 straight games, didn't win a conference game. Like, that's not an environment conducive to growth for young players. So I think it's makes all the sense in the world to give him a lot of leeway and a lot of space, you know, to grow his game. But I feel less confident about him than I did maybe midway through the year, just because I don't think we saw the growth as the year went on. But again, maybe that's unfair given the circumstances. And I think, you know, he's a guy that'll be in the mix.
Yeah, no.
And I think to get back to the starting lineup, I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball in here than what we talked about. But if we're going to say Hinson's healthy, I think he starts at the 4. I've got Kalscher at the 2. I'm putting Javen Johnson at the 3, trying to get some more length, trying to get some more athleticism. His ball handling makes me a little worried. I think he's got to spend the whole spring and summer really tightening up that handle, tightening up his decision-making. Because if he can do that, then I think he's a very valuable Big 12 player. If he has the turnover rate that he had last year with the travels, with the bad passes, you know, I don't think it's harder for him to move the needle in a positive direction. But if he's able to do that, I think he's a very valuable player. And now you're talking about a lineup of Tyrese Hunter, Gabe Kalscher, you know, who again has the caveat too, he's got to find his jump shot again. Javen Johnson at the 3, Blake Hinson at the 4, Xavier Foster at the 5. I think that's a team worth getting excited about, you know, at least in the context of year one of a rebuild. Like, there's some talent there. There's some youth there, obviously, because of the pandemic. Everybody's got another additional year of eligibility beyond next year, so you could just run it all back the following season. But I think that's where I would lean. And to your point, I think Condit's in the mix. I think Walker's in the mix. Trey Jackson's in the mix. You know, there's, you go 2-22, there's minutes there. You know, we'll see what the Washington State transfer can bring to. But I think the roster's in a better spot now than when the season ended a month ago.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. To your point, you know, we were talking about Javen a little bit. Maybe Javen will be better with better players around him, because just what you just exactly said right there when I almost cut you off is that this will be a better team. This already, that lineup that you get put out throughout there right there, and I'll add a new and improved Condit as a potential at the 5 also. That team's better than last year. That team's maybe better than TCU. That team's maybe better than K-State. And yeah, okay, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but let's face it. The bottom three teams in the Big 12, there's pretty good separation there. And Iowa State can certainly put together a roster that can be better than K-State and that can be better than TCU, at least. I don't know if Texas Tech is going to drop off now or if it will be next season when Texas Tech drops off. But as we've talked about before, I think there's a definite drop off coming there. And I don't know about Oklahoma, but you know, there's certainly reason for optimism.
Yeah. I think Randy, you hit it there. Like, well, there'll be lots to discuss about this over the coming weeks and months as kind of things take shape. The other thing going on right now is spring football. I don't think we've had one scintilla of news really emerge from the spring football interviews. Again, we haven't been able to watch any of practice because of the COVID-19 protocols.
Oh, I disagree. Oh, I respectfully disagree.
Okay, well, fill me in.
Oh, then. I respectfully disagree. How would you like to eat 8 meals a day?
Okay, fair enough. We did get the news that Will McDonald is eating 8 meals a day and that Howard Brown is up to 330 pounds.
Yeah, and he came in January. So, yeah, everything is predictable right now. But here's what we're hearing also. We're hearing, and it's been sometimes it's been subtle, sometimes it's been in response to a direct question. But we're hearing a number of the players talk about how the strength and conditioning has changed. The philosophy has changed over the last couple of years. It hasn't gotten to the point where the players have thrown previous strength and conditioning staff under the bus. It's just the whole change of philosophy. And it's interesting what the players, to me at least, what the players have said about it, because they're all saying kind of the same thing, but they're saying it in a different way. That's really kind of interesting to me. And so I don't think that aspect, Dave Andrews and his crew, I don't think they get enough credit. But it's going to be like you said, there's not been one smidget of news, and that's probably a good thing, right? It's spring.
Yeah,
that's probably a good thing.
Their whole direction, I think, for this spring is to minimize injuries, both in the short and long term. And I think Randy, you hit the nail on the head. There's been really two themes, I think, that have been consistent as we've talked to each position group. One is the strength and conditioning staff and Campbell's plan for spring to minimize contact, to, you know, work for the long haul has been consistent. You know, we heard of, you know, bits and pieces about it during the season last year about working up to being ready to play on Saturday rather than going full bore all week long. But it's really been out in the open now that they're putting a lot of praise on Dave Andrews and the strength and conditioning staff. And I think the other theme that we've heard about, and that I think these two things probably work in tandem, is that it's fundamentals, 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 that they're going slow, that they're not, you know, usually like sometimes when you talk to older teams, to more experienced teams, they talk about how far ahead of the curve they are and how they're deeper into the playbook than we've ever been before. But we're not getting that from Iowa State. They're talking about, you know, we talked to Eli Rashid, the defensive line coach, yesterday, Randy, and he's talking about, yeah, we're working on stance and hand placement. And it's just like, so they're talking about the building blocks of what they're doing. And I think given what we know about Campbell, given what we know about this team, I think that makes a lot of sense. They don't want to do a million different things. Obviously, they want to be multiple on offense and all that they talk about, but they want to be able to do what they do better than anybody else. They want to win in the margins. And if you're able to master those fundamental building blocks of what you do at every position, whether it's Brock Purdy making better decisions, whether it's any Wazirike, you know, putting his hand in the dirt in the right spot, like Rashid talked about yesterday, if you're able to do those little things correctly, you know, they can go a long way, especially when we've seen over the years Iowa State playing in so many close games. You know, last year, a lot of them went their way. The year before, obviously not. And that can make the difference between going to a Big 12 title game, making a college football playoff, or not. And again, I think that's a thing that Randy will probably talk a lot about in the coming months, is that to go from where Iowa State was last year with where the expectations are this year, it's small improvements, but man, it is an absolute microscope on everything that they do when the bar is competing for a college football playoff spot. So that'll be something to keep an eye on as we get through spring and into summer and certainly into fall. We'll have plenty of coverage of Iowa State football and men's basketball as we go through the spring and summer months. This has been the Cyclone Insider Radio Hour from the Des Moines Register on 106.3.